Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Every Voice and Sing, performed by members of Congress and President Biden today. The president signed a bill that creates a national holiday for Juneteenth. Earlier in the day in Washington, not far from there, the Supreme Court handed up a couple of rulings, handed down, I should say. And to help us understand exactly what happened there is Art Ward, the professor of political science at Northern Illinois University, also a faculty associate at the College of Law. Professor, welcome back.
Steve, thanks for having me. Always great to be with you.
I appreciate the way you explain things for us. Okay, we had two rulings today. The first was a challenge from a number of Republican office holders to Obamacare, correct?
Yeah, this is the third time this case has come to the court. And, you know, each time the court has saved it, famously, Chief Justice Roberts casting the tie-breaking vote during Obama's presidency to save it and you know, striking it down under the Commerce Clause, sort of technical there, but upholding it under the Taxing and Spending Clause, hinting that, you know, if Congress would just zero out to the penalty, then maybe it would be unconstitutional. Congress did that. They zeroed out the penalty, and this challenge was supposed to strike it down, but it didn't work.
So the court early on, Justice Roberts' opinion sort of declared the penalty attack. And that's what that's allowed him to uphold the law. Later then, the penalty or the what was declared the tax was wiped out of the law. That was by congressional action?
Yes, okay. Exactly.
And so they said that penalty's no longer there. If that tax part of the law is gone, you've got to throw out the whole law, right? And that's what this case was about.
Yeah, that's exactly what this case was supposed to do, but the majority of the court decided we're not going to reach that question. We're going to dodge the question and say that the parties bringing the lawsuit don't have standing to bring it. They're not the right parties to bring the lawsuit because they're not facing any actual harm from this case. And so it's a way that the court often will use to dodge an issue. You might remember the Pledge of Allegiance case from 2004 out of California, where the court said that the father didn't have standing to sue on behalf of the child because he didn't have custody. So the court can dodge politically difficult issues when it wants to by taking these sort of technical approaches, and that's what they did in this case.
And this was a 7-2 opinion. So, Professor, if they wanted to dodge the issue, why did they agree to take the case?
Well, that's always an interesting question, right? It only takes 4 votes to hear the case at the Supreme Court. And, of course, you need 5 or more to win that case. And so 4 votes to take it doesn't constitute a majority. So 4, we don't know what the vote was to take the case, but let's say there were 4 and they thought they had the 5th vote. Well, they didn't get it. And it's a great victory for Chief Justice Roberts. Both cases actually today were, and you know, he's working with Justice Breyer, I think, in tandem to try to build a moderate middle coalition on the court to keep it away from the more extreme elements.
I hate to say, is the Obamacare challenge put to bed, but is this a nail in the coffin there?
Yeah, it's all over now, and even Republicans have conceded the issue and haven't really been talking about it anymore, and that's why you see Justice Thomas even joining with the others to say, you know, look, this is over now. So, you know, let's move on, and the battles are now going to be over expansion of Obamacare in Congress as we go further in the coming years. So it's over.
Well, there you go. I think even President Obama put out a statement. I don't have it in front of me, but yeah, he was celebrating today. And again, a 7-2 ruling, as you said, on a standing issue, not the issue that brought the case up to the Supreme Court. Okay, the other case is a little more interesting to me, maybe because of the dissent. But explain this other case for me.
Yeah, this case, Fulton versus Philadelphia, is the case about religious freedom. The Catholic organization that was working with the city of Philadelphia to place kids in foster homes and so forth for adoption, and you know, the city of Philadelphia passed this anti-discrimination statute that said and you can't discriminate against same-sex couples. But the Catholic organization said, well, we, you know, that violates our religious sure. beliefs. We don't want to do that. And so that's what we have here is a religious freedom claim. And the court bought that claim and said that's right, that this Catholic group can't be excluded from the program just because they have a religious objection, that the city has to make an exception for them just as they make exceptions for others, other religious exceptions under the Free Exercise Clause. And again, it's another example of Chief Justice Roberts winning a case in tandem with Justice Breyer, who, you know, is the leader of the left wing of the court, trying to rule narrowly and keeping the opinion away from the more extreme elements, in this instance, Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch, who want to go much further and create a broad rule for religious freedom and a much bigger weapon to use to attack other statutes. Yeah, and Roberts doesn't want them to do that. He wants to join with the moderate faction.
I want to get to that in a second. We'll get a little deeper into that. But wasn't there a similar Illinois situation? I feel like the state of Illinois or the Catholic Charities here in Illinois stopped doing state-supported adoptions because of the same issue. But I couldn't find it anywhere. Do you recall that?
You know, I don't recall okay. that specifically, but the case, of course, we do all remember as the baker, right, who didn't want to make the cake for the gay couple. But again, there was an instance where the court refused to come up with a broad principle and overturn longstanding precedent the way the conservatives want to do it. So while the court is ruling in favor of religious liberty for these conservative religious organizations, they're not willing to go far, right, and create a big rule that would create a huge backlash. And that's Roberts's goal here, to protect the court from big, momentous rulings and protect it in a politically volatile time.
Are you talking about Alito's opinion? He was the lead for the dissent, I believe, and he wanted to go much further, overturn an earlier law, as you alluded to. And so if he were to have had his way, what would the country look like?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this dissent is fascinating, right? Alito, Thomas, and Gorsuch showing their hand, revealing that they want to overturn this case, Employment Division versus Smith, and basically create a constitutional shield for all kinds of conservative religious exemptions from generally neutral laws, right, under religious beliefs. And if that were to happen, it would create a revolution in constitutional law, and this religious freedom would be used in all walks of life to exempt organizations from generally applicable laws, meaning they could discriminate, they could do all sorts of things, and that's different from creating these narrow exceptions, and so that's what the court's trying to do.
So we had the narrow exception when it comes to adoption and same-sex couples. That's all this ruling applies to. Alito, Gorsuch, and Thomas would have had it apply to virtually everything. I'm thinking of a pharmacist who doesn't want to fill birth control prescriptions. Is that the sort of thing that the Alito ruling might have led to?
Absolutely. You can imagine all kinds of exemptions. You know, if you thought that the baker's baking a cake was sort of maybe ridiculous in some level, and as you say, pharmacists, this could be widespread. And so that's exactly what the conservatives have been trying to do for years, is to use this clause of the Constitution, the Free Exercise Clause, as a weapon for majority religious exclusion, right, to these generally applicable laws. Historically, the Free Exercise Clause was used by liberals to protect minorities like Native Americans and the Amish, and now conservatives are trying to use it as a weapon on behalf of this majority religious views, and so it's really turned the constitutional provision of free exercise on its head, and it's a huge battle that's been playing out for decades now.
Okay, so we've got those two today. What do we have to look forward to? A couple more weeks, right?
Yeah, last time we talked, you'd mentioned the student athlete case, right? Are we going to start seeing payments to student athletes? It looks like the court's going to allow again a narrow allowance there, and then we're going to see there's some ballot election challenges in Arizona. The court's probably going to uphold some of those restrictions, and then of course the free speech case with the kids who are on their social media. Can this school bar them from that speech?
I love
looks
that
like
case.
The court will probably allow that. Yeah.
So that's a girl who didn't. She didn't make varsity, I think, in her prom squad or something like that. And she went on Instagram, used all sorts of foul language about the school and the team, and the school kicked her off. So the question is, can the school punish her for something she says on social media away from the school? And what do you expect the ruling to be?
Yeah, from the oral argument, we could gauge that both the liberals and conservatives kind of in the middle of the court are going to probably say that the school can prohibit that kind of speech, because you can imagine, even though this speech was directed at the school, you can imagine similar speech off campus being directed as kind of bullying or hate speech. And so liberals would be sympathetic to that argument, right?
And that
where conservatives would be sympathetic to sort of school power arguments.
That would be, real quickly, a reversal of the Vietnam case, would it not?
Well, it would be an extension of that case,
okay,
because that, while that case said that the students don't shed their free speech at the schoolhouse gates, that the school can also prohibit speech to make sure that there's no disruption of the school environment. So if it can be shown, right, that this off-campus speech harms students to the extent that, say, they can't learn properly or are afraid to go to school, then that would fall in line with the Tinker versus Des Moines precedent. So
Professor Art, Professor Art Ward, sorry, from NIU. Listen, Professor, love talking to you. Thanks very much.
Always a pleasure, Steve.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. We're going to check out your basement coming up. WGN.